Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Do it, Drew. On stream. Start doing it.
I will not do it on stream.
You can do it tomorrow in the Hooters outfit instead.
No.
You sure?
No. Legitimately, if you want me to whip in Nene tomorrow, I will in the Hooters outfit. I will whip in Nene.
Okay.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody
Tapp. I can't whip or Nene.
Drew Nixon.
What? What do you mean, what?
Why don't you give it a try? Why don't you stand
Drew,
up
first
and...
off, this wasn't the stuff that everybody danced to when, like, high school dance.
But you're familiar with it.
Yes, but in high school dances, the ones that were, like, the dances that everybody did at the same time were still, like, look, I'm
like
quite a bit older than you.
Grinding.
It was still, like, like, if you're doing a group dance, it was still, like, the electric slide or something. Yeah. But yeah, we pretty much just...
But it was just... It wasn't even that, Cody. It was just grinding the entire time. That's all it was in junior high and high school.
Yeah, it's...
That's all it was. What do they even do at... What the hell do they even do at high school dances now?
Do you ever realize what a weird moment that must have been for all the adults in the room? You just got to sit here for 2 hours while a bunch of 17-year-olds grind up on each other? I mean...
That's all it was! That's all it was! God.
Like, this is what you signed up for? And they didn't even have any, like,
someone's
I don't
the
remember.
Macarena.
I remember zero.
that's what Cody was doing.
I remember zero policing of it. Like, none.
I don't believe that's allowed anymore. I honestly don't know what they do at a high school dance.
Once did an entire choreographed dance to that, the one where they're, like, puppets. The Backstreet Boys song that they're puppets.
Okay.
I did a choreographed dance hit with a group of people once at a high school dance. I got that going
now
for
watch me whip. Watch me, Nene.
I just
said,
yeah, I know the song. I'm saying I can't. I also can't Dougie. You gonna teach me?
I think
it's gonna teach me, but yet I can't
teach me how to Dougie.
Dougie, I think, is a little bit hard. It's harder than the whip or the Nene.
Okay, good to know. I've been known to dance at a wedding and time to time.
Oh,
not as much these days.
So, we got another little update on the stadium front. So we know the Chiefs are going to Kansas. We know the Royals are still trying to figure out what they want to do. And in the last couple of days, you've had the Speaker of the Kansas House come out and say, yeah, we're done talking to the Royals. Like, it's deal passed, deadline passed, deal's done. We're not doing it. Then yesterday, you had Jason Withington, who is one of seven Clay County commissioners. We've had Jason on the show a couple times over the last few years. He posted on his Facebook page, and he started just talking about, like, how much he loves baseball and talked about, you know, over the last few years, he said, the joy has been drained out of it for me. I absolutely loathe the business of baseball. And since I'm always talking about being real, let me keep it 100. I didn't say that. No, he said, let me be 100. Like Kansas, I'm done negotiating with the Kansas City Royals. Last year, we were told the team wanted to be on the November 2025 ballot. We worked in good faith all summer to make that happen. As the August deadline approached, we were then told they wanted to move to the April 2026 ballot at the earliest.
Tomorrow, so this would be the earliest?
Tomorrow, yeah. And this was posted last night. So today was the deadline we gave the team to meet that timeline. They've now told us they aren't ready for that either. At some point, you stop negotiating and start being honest about what's actually happening. For me, the Royal situation in Clay County is now a closed chapter. It's time for the commission to focus fully on priorities we control, either upgrading our existing county jail or building a new one. Again, he is one of seven. It's not the end all be all, but do others on the committee feel the same or the commission feel the same?
My guess is no, or at least not all. I don't think he speaks for the entirety of the group. I get it, but also they told you at the earliest they would be ready for the April ballot. So they're not ready for it. That to me is not misleading. That is saying, that is us knowing at the earliest who do there. Here's the problem with Clay County is that they're not the first choice. They have never been the first choice. They are a backup plan. I still think to this day or a backup plan. And sometimes these counties, or at least this county commissioner in particular, doesn't like being second fiddle. And I understand that. You got pride in your county. You want to bring things to it. But you also, like, Kansas was once second fiddle in the sports arena, and they made themselves first choice by ponying up the dough to get the Chiefs over there. Because, and again, I say that because the Chiefs did try technically, although I think they sabotaged that vote, they did try technically to stay in Jackson County and in Missouri. So, like, sometimes when you're the underdog, you have to bide your time, play it slow, be smart and plotting and careful with it. And I think that what is being lost here, and that is, like, it takes patience. And it's been 2 years, and I get being tired of it because we're tired of talking about it in a lot of ways. But I also just don't think it doesn't mean they're not going to Clay County. I still think there's a chance they go to Clay County. I still think there's a chance to go to Kansas. I still think it's most likely they stay in Jackson County, but I'm not ruling out any of the possible options right now. Hell, I probably got to put 5% on they just sell the team and they go somewhere else, even though I don't think that's happening.
We know there was a lot of noise that prior to the Chiefs' announcement in Kansas that the Royals were very close to a deal. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly the Chiefs got the deal announced first. And I still think some of what happened is the state of Kansas was trying to get a team, so they were going after both. And then now there's been increased.
And the Royals moved too slow.
There's now been the Royals moved too slow, and now there's been increased backlash towards politicians, mainly politicians also that are on the other side of the state of Kansas, like in not on the eastern side, where of course the stadium would be, and about using taxpayer money for the stadiums, and we can. We're not going to, but we can debate all we want about the Starbond District and is it going to be diverting resources or not diverting resources? Is it taking money from whatever, increasing taxes? Wrong show for that discussion necessarily.
Yeah,
but there's certainly a lot of pressure and people that are talking about it more than ever. And are they prepared to in an election year for a lot of those representatives? Are they prepared to then do the same thing for the Royals? And I think that is part of the problem, other than the Royals themselves not making up their damn mind on what they want to do. Like, as much as 2 Aprils ago, I do think Jackson County, the county, definitely screwed things up for them, okay? And I'm not talking about the voters. I'm talking literally, the of course, Frank White and the county executive.
Yeah.
But now this feels like the Royals can't make up their mind on they want, Cody.
Look,
where do you want to go? They're telling Clay County that we're not ready for an April vote. Does that mean you're not ready because
you don't know where you want to go?
You don't know where you want to go. You're not ready because you think you still have something with Kansas. You're not ready because now talks with Missouri, Casey Moe are getting better. What is it? They have not made up their mind, and they're sitting out here, and some of the better deals might not be out there anymore for them.
I understand that these things take some time. I'm not trying to pretend like stadium deals get put together overnight. They had two full years to get something back in Jackson County, to get something in Clay County, or to get something done with Kansas. I'm sorry, you moved too slow. Way too slow. Because in that same amount of time, the Chiefs just got like $6 trillion from the state of Kansas. So like they managed to figure it out. Not way sooner, right? It was only a couple of weeks ago. It's not like they're way ahead of your timeline. But they managed to get it done in the amount of time you haven't managed to get it done. The truth is what I think happened here is once the dream, what they felt like the dream died, they wanted downtown baseball. They had it on a ballot. They had a site, a stadium plan they loved. They were on it. And the Royals the Chiefs sabotaged them in some ways because their plan wasn't nearly as good. And the city sabotaged them a little bit by making them move sites instead of going to the preferred site, I think, in the East Village. And so they got hurt a little bit by that. But since then, they've just been instead seeking out the perfect fit. They're like Goldilocksing the city slowly, trying to figure out the dream scenario that fits the most check marks. And it seems like it's a 200-point checklist of things we want for a new Royal site. And they've just been going back and forth, being like, well, this one has 147, and this one has 151, but let's go back to this one. I think we can get it to 154. And because of that, they might have lost out on Kansas. Now, here's the truth. I don't think Kansas is actually out of the running yet completely. I don't think Clay County is completely out of the running because one county commissioner, to me, in this letter is essentially just encouraging the other ones to put it to bed for now. And he's tired of the way these deals work out or the way this process works out. I'd be borderline to just say it's like third, third, third. But I think it's like 60% they still end up in Jackson County, 20% they end up in Clay, 20% they end up in Kansas. But they got to get on it. If they really do want to be out of the Truman Sports Complex, and let's say they don't stay in Jackson County, well, they're not going to let you stay till 2031. The Royals, as much as they said, will be out by 2030. If they're building in Jackson County a downtown stadium and they got to get to 2031,
for sure.
They'll let him stay.
Yeah, if you're staying in the same county in the same city.
But if you're going to Clay County,
who knows?
They're going to tell you to kick rocks. Or maybe they generously give you a year. Maybe you're playing baseball, Lawrence, you know, like the kind of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But yeah, I hear you. I mean, this has been an ongoing discussion. We still know the original desire of John Sherman was what?
Downtown
baseball. And they also were fond of the Battery in Atlanta, the development around that,
which was
and
more,
the revenue
more like the Knoll site. Yeah.
Right. And they have more room on 119th and Knoll than the Washington Square Park site. But is there a chance that East Village comes back into play, or is that completely done? What's crazy is we're back, not to square one, but we're certainly discussing the same sites all over again. And I think at this point, like, well, there's been a lot of blame to go around right now, Cody, at least with, if you kind of can read between the lines a little bit of what the Kansas Speaker of the House said, and then now even if it's just one Clay County commissioner and not the entire commission saying it, this feels like now it is definitely on the Royals. Like, and they always were part of it. They were always part of it, but this, no, but I mean, like, the fact that a decision hasn't been made and where the, it feels like they're the biggest holdup now. Before, there was plenty of blame to go around on why this hasn't been resolved. This feels like it's far more on them and an inability to make a decision for whatever reason.
They're going to have to push. I mean, really push and find new roles and, you know, and figure out how to get this thing done. I will say the one good thing that I think helps Jackson County and helps Missouri a little beast in this case is the only people who are constantly saying, "We love you, please come back," is Mayor Q and Jackson County. They're the only people who are, everyone else is like, "I don't know." And like, just, it's, again, it's one person in Clay County who's saying that. He doesn't speak for every person in Clay County. It's not even just the county commissioners who make those decisions. It's so many other people, like the mayor of North Kansas City and 1,000 other people. But like, he is that group of people, the city council, him, the city, they're at least still as a unit still being like, "Come on, please."
But we get back to the same thing, which is the public vote aspect. And I know there was, I think it was the Kansas City Star that had two different people in Missouri speak recently that said they don't need a public vote. But again, that is up for debate. I think that some people suggest that they would need one. Some people suggest they wouldn't. But it's just, I think the Royals suddenly find themselves in almost a worse spot than they were 6 months ago, Cody. I think they're in a worse spot now than they were 6 months ago. Because of just like, if it's true that some of the doors are at least closing, maybe not fully closed and locked, but some of the doors appear to be closing on them.
If they have to get to a vote in either Clay or Jackson County, they have to get on the November ballot. Have to.
Well, yeah, like, April's not happening.
But the problem is, like, that's a midterm. Like, they're trying to avoid that. That's part of the problem. The other time, you get too many people out to vote. You weirdly want less people in some ways. And it depends. Like, I don't know what their people are saying about who would approve what this time around. Sometimes you want less people, sometimes you want more. But like, you're gonna get lost in a wave of a lot of other voting if you get on a November ballot. But well, I mean, how much longer can they take? How much time can they take? Now the text line's over here talking about Winnetonka.
Your high school days.
Well, Jason Withington, who is the Clay County Commissioner, went to Winnetonka Saturday.
Yeah.
And there was recently a teacher charged with some pretty...
Oh, really?
He apparently sold, allegedly sold, 3D printed machine guns.
Some former student?
Like a teacher, like an active teacher.
Oh, okay.
Or administrator or something. Someone who's employed.
Okay. I did not know that.
Someone said, "Nice, Cody. What do you think? I speak for everybody who ever went to the school I went to?"
Yeah, you do. You speak for all of Winnetonka.
Don't make me go dig up just the one person who did something awful from all the high schools everybody went to.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, I don't think.
I've already told you I went to school with multiple murderers.
What a weird thing to just consistently say over the years of the show.
I know.
You sounded proud.
No,
you
not.
You sounded
honestly,
way too
proud.
Honestly,
it's just weird because like I spent a fair amount of time with those people and at no point would I have assumed.
Murderer?
Yeah. Yeah, that part. Makes me feel like I had bad judgment or something.
Huh.
You know?
Huh.
I haven't hung out with any murderers since, I don't think. No one that I know of.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
How about that?
There you go.
Someone says, "I'll follow Cody's advice and not vote on stuff." That's not what I said.
Yeah, Cody definitely
said
that.
I voted every single election.
Cody definitely said that.
I voted in the small ones. I had one thing to vote on the last time in Clay County. No, it was for like a school board member.
It doesn't have to just be general election.
Yeah.
Or presidential election.
Always vote. But, you know, the Royals didn't want this to get to a vote, and now they might end up being stuck in that situation. So we'll see.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to what's trending. And also earlier today, we had our conversation with Danian Hughes. We asked him, what does he think they need in an offensive coordinator? This is a guy that played in the league,
yeah,
that's been around this organization for a while. What do they actually need? And his thoughts on, you know, the idea of, you know, the running back priority, wide receiver priority compared to defensive line in the draft. And does the Rashee Rice allegations that are out there change how you have to proceed moving forward when it comes to the draft? But think about the Chiefs. We've known most of the schedule for a while, and we knew it. We could have told you back in October, you know, most of the schedule. Everybody thinks that because you finished third, your schedule is going to be so easy the next year. It's only really swinging like three or four games by being a third place schedule for the most part, right? There's only so much up in the air.
It's not even going to do that for Kansas City.
The Chiefs schedule right now, and this is just off of this year win percentage, and as we all saw play out, crazy stuff happens. Nobody would have thought the Jags would have been at the position maybe they were this year, or some of these teams that fell off. Nobody would have thought the Chiefs and Lions and Ravens all were going to miss the postseason. So bleep happens. But right now, they're set up for the fifth toughest schedule next year already, based off of this year's win percentage.
So stupid. It's unfair.
Ridiculous.
This life's unfair. Look, here's the truth. The reason why is because they're playing the AFC East, and that has two teams actively in the playoffs right now. They also happen to be playing the NFC West.
Yeah, whoops.
Who was the best division in all of football. Now, look, you could hope that like Sam Darnold leaving makes the offense fall apart for McDonald or something in Seattle, and
he's
maybe
leaving?
Get worse. No, Clint Kubiak might.
Oh, you said Sam Darnold.
Clint Kubiak
not going
maybe
anywhere.
Make Sam Darnold worse.
For sure.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe Stafford retires and we're just having a different conversation.
Happen. Yeah.
So like maybe the NFC West one lightens up. But as it sits right now, they have as hard of a schedule as almost any team in the league. Hell, Drew's team has the second easiest in Cincinnati.
Well, look at the division and how many wins are in that division.
Yeah, well, I mean, not a lot of teams with double-digit wins or none.
But that's one of those where I could see it bouncing back. Like you could still see a scenario where the Ravens bounce back next year and that the Steelers are still where they've always been, and you could see, you know what I mean? Like,
that division winner will probably be up to 11 games again, or 12,
I think the
maybe.
Challenge here is that the biggest challenge with the Chiefs schedule right now is I don't foresee the Broncos not being a competitive football team or the Chargers not being a competitive football team. Let's take away the 14 wins or 13 wins or 11 wins. You know, like I know the Chargers got 11 and the Broncos. Don't forget the
win
total.
They're in the 9-10 range at minimum.
Those are salty NFL football teams and will be salty NFL football teams again next year. Like I can make up a scenario to make some of the NFC West teams easier. Hypothetically, I can make up, I can't really make up a scenario for the Bills or the Patriots to be easier. Those are just teams you're going to have to face. Now, the only thing that makes it more challenging is if the Raiders get off their ass or the Jets get off their ass, and they won't because
they're
losing franchises.
They find the right quarterback is the key. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they'll be more competitive, but they've still got so many other roster problems. The truth is, if you thought Kansas City, because they finished 6-11, was going to get the schedule pass, they're not. They're going to have to go through the same difficult schedule they've been going for years and find a way to balance that out based off of it. You do realize that not a single AFC conference winner is the same as the winner from last year. So like these divisions already flipped anyway. A third place schedule doesn't guarantee you anything.
Yeah, there's a chance their third place schedule could end up being all the division winners for next year.
I think division winners in football change hands this year? It did in the West, East, and North. And it did in the South. So all four in the AFC switched. The West is a different winner because
the Eagles would be the only one. The Eagles won the NFC East. First time an NFC East champion back-to-backs in 20-something years.
So the only conference, because the Bears won the North, so the only conference that didn't see a repeat winner ended up being the Eagles of all teams.
Yeah, yep. The one that hadn't seen it in that long, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Look, a lot of times we end up like making a shift here and all these other stuff. It's like it's just kind of like a mix of you don't really know what your schedule is going to look like until the season starts.
Too many variables.
You feel for these teams.
Feel, but also we don't know who's getting hurt during preseason. That means they're out. We don't know if Mahomes is back for week 1 or week 8. We don't know. You know what I mean? There's just too many variables to freak out. Someone's asking if I'm sitting in the dark.
The sun came out.
It was cloudy and rainy all day, and now randomly it actually looks nice outside. It looks like we're on like Dateline, and I'm about to tell a story about this.
Can you alter your voice so we don't know if it's you?
I can't. I'm laughing. I can't even do it now. But it looks like
I look like bright as day.
You do.
Like just like sunny and sun shining. I look great.
And then I was walking down the street. It's like
that's exactly
it's,
it.
It's something like that.
We're going to have to lower those blinds. Yeah. I'll fix
it right now.
You're going to fix it right now? Will we talk a little bit about the NFL and where things are headed? No, I just, like, for a lot of different reasons. I think it's nice sometimes because you think about the advantages, Gold, of what you get when you're a team that doesn't win as much in a given year and what that can bring you the following year. I'm just saying that the only benefit the Chiefs are going to get in that regard is the pick. Like, there's no other favors coming. The division is still hard. The schedule is still really hard. Don't look at the opponents right now and say that it's outside of there. So, slightly different change. Alex got to close one more. He still
it didn't quite do the fix. You know, it didn't quite.
Did it help?
A little bit, I suppose. It is.
Anybody got a line on some good studio lights?
That's better now.
That's what we need, Gold. We need some big, soft box lights hanging from the ceiling, lighting this place up like a professional setup. Mm. You know?
Yeah, it's better. Well, it's better than what it was. It's still not perfect, but we're good.
Are you guys somewhat surprised that this video stream still works? Let's have an honest conversation on this show.
What are we?
You know?
That was a very...
We set this thing up years ago.
Blunt question.
Took forever.
Am I surprised? No. I mean, I'm not surprised that we...
Technology fails, man. We both just had to get new laptops.
But the stream being up, I don't know if it's a surprising thing. The laptop you have mentioned multiple times.
Ooh, it doesn't charge anymore. Or it doesn't hold a charge anymore. Let me rephrase.
Yeah, we're getting to that point where it's like my laptop or my old laptop.
If it's unplugged for more than 5 seconds, man, it's done.
Yeah, no, we bought good cameras and stuff. That wasn't the issue.
These cameras were your suggestion.
Yeah.
You said you'd used them at a previous location, I believe.
Yeah. Yep.
What a nice change.
They worked out.
I was gonna ask you either that or Sean Barber was in the was in the group chat suggesting that the Raiders draft Fernando Mendoza number one and then hire Sinyeti, which is a take I saw Rich Eisen also give.
Yeah.
And offer up as an opinion. Look, Here's the one thing. It's not the craziest idea.
Well, why not?
I don't think it's ever happening, but it's not
the
craziest.
If you're Sinyeti, why not do it? This guy clearly just loves to win and loves to prove to people he's the smartest dude in the room. And honestly, when he said, Google me, I win, that man, I've never seen someone back up a bold statement quite like that. He said, Google me, I win, when he was going to Indiana, a school that nobody takes serious for football.
Had the most losses in FBS
ever.
History.
Yeah. And now he's got him in a semifinal for a chance to win a national championship. If I'm the Raiders, I'm at least somewhat interested in
Here's
that.
The thing, though. Like,
Other than he's older.
He is older.
Just fired an older coach, quite a bit older than that.
The other part is, like, maybe I'm completely blanking on it. Can someone tell me an example where in the same offseason, the college head coach went to the NFL to coach his college
Probably
quarterback.
Never.
Yeah, so like it doesn't happen. Like pipe dream stuff. It doesn't.
This is the only chance probably.
You know what though? Sure. But like part of this is like the outside the box thing. The Raiders are a laughing stock organization. Mm-hmm. Why not try? Maybe this would actually give instead of what we've been doing, which is let's draft a quarterback, fire their offensive coordinator or head coach halfway through a season, make them learn an entirely new system. How about a guy who instead coached a guy for the last 3 years, knows their strengths and weaknesses, can understand how to design an offense around their own success.
But he's not just coaching the quarterback.
See if it works.
He's not just coaching Fernando or, you know, Mendoza.
No, I know.
Like he's got to be able to relate and you know, pros that are made. Drew, we were talking about this. Like he can't treat the guy that is making $55 million and the three other guys that are making $28 million the same way he was treating the guy that was on an $80,000 NIL deal.
It's an issue that Nick Saban had when he went to the NFL. I think some of it would ring true there.
Saban hated it, but Saban wasn't bad at it. I want to point that out as well.
I think Sinyeti would not. I don't think he would like it, but I think Sinyeti would be pretty good. I'll be honest. I think Kurt Sinyeti would probably be pretty solid, but I will say he might absolutely hate it.
Saban was 500. With Dante Culpepper and Jay Fiedler. So, like, Saban was not a failure. Like, Saban wasn't a bad NFL coach. He hated being an NFL coach. But, Drew, as we've talked about in the sport, college is closer to the pros than it's ever been. It might be less of a jump for Sinyeti than it was for Saban.
I think there's some truth to that. I think dealing with $5 million or $3 million for Mendoza or whatever it is different than max dollars and telling them that they need to wake up. It's still enough of a difference. I don't know if he would like it.
Yeah. Someone said Jimmy Johnson, the Cowboys. Yeah. But so Jimmy Johnson was at Miami, goes to the Cowboys, and they already had, they had first overall pick Troy Aikman, and then he drafted his college quarterback, Steve Walsh.
To be the backup?
But that was in the supplemental draft, and that was to be great competition, but that guy was never
play,
like, yeah, that's, I hear you, it's close, but not, it's
Mendoza's
still not.
Going to play to be the number one overall pick or the number two overall pick.
Yeah. I mean, they could become the Las Vegas Hoosiers. I mean, you bring in Sinyeti, and you got
Hoosiers.
Mendoza, and you get Surratt, or Omar Cooper, one of those
Look,
guys.
You don't have to go all the way Charlie in on Becker. It, but like, this idea of, and we talk about this, like Baker Mayfield's getting ready to have his like fifth offensive coordinator for the Bucs. Mm-hmm. Alex Smith talked a lot about this, and I think that this really holds true, and organizations screw this up a lot, which is It turns out patience and consistency when it comes to offensive scheme and offensive system and head coach is a healthy thing for a quarterback and helps them with the transition. I like that far better than what has been the plan we were just joking about, which is the Tennessee Titans drafted Cam Ward number one overall, fired their coach halfway through the season.
I mean, the Giants just did it too.
Yeah. And so like, so for those quarterbacks, Jackson Dart and Cam Ward, they will have been with their third coach and third OC, or at least third coach, by the time they start game one of their second season. Who's that benefiting? Versus like this other side of like, maybe it could work that he has 40 games or whatever. I don't think he's coached that many. 25 games of coaching Mendoza. Maybe he actually knows some things that will help the kid out and make the transition to the NFL, you know? Maybe he understands where his strengths are.
Like if we actually had like true serum and got the real answer right now from Kurt Sagan, something tells me he doesn't want to coach in the NFL.
Maybe I'm way off on that. I don't know, man. He's jumped up these leagues pretty quick.
He's still college.
I hear you though.
Like even we, I don't know for sure.
I think you're right, Cody. And that there's more. It's closer in terms of the particulars, I think, but it's still it's still a little bit different with Sig.
Someone said, "Why are you talking about Cinzetti's?" Yeah, remember that place? Remember that place being around? Did you guys ever go there?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
When did they shut all those down?
A long time ago. To your guys' point, by the way, I just don't want to look it up. He has never coached anything in the NFL level. He's only been a college coach.
Yeah, he was Saban's assistant for the longest time.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if he would want to go to the NFL. And I don't know.
What if the Steelers offer him the job? They fire Tomlin. He's from Pittsburgh.
Even worse. If I'm him, the only way I would go is if I had the situation where I'm with, and I got, you know what I mean? I got the familiar talent.
He's from Pittsburgh. I just looked at it on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
No, imagine Pittsburgh's, if you're from Pittsburgh, you'd take the Steelers.
The Pittsburgh problem is if Rodgers left, like they don't have a high draft pick, so you're not getting a young quarterback. You're still going to play this. You're going to get this middle of the road quarterback thing.
Best case is probably Ty Simpson if you want the young quarterback.
Ty Simpson, for the Chiefs' sake, you should hope that he does great at the combine and he ends up going in the top 10 and it's another quarterback
that goes. Help out anything before pick nine.
Hope he goes third overall, fourth, fifth, whatever.
Yeah, you should hope that. You guys know I actually kind of like Ty Simpson going back a couple months ago. He has not played as well or did not play as well the final month and a half of the season, though. So I wonder if that hurt his stock. But if he has a great combine, will a team talk themselves into Ty Simpson in the top 10 instead of waiting till pick, 18 or 20? For the Chiefs' sake, again, I
hope so.
I hope it's early.
Happens all the time.
Up next, someone says, Cinzetti's still open. Really?
Haven't been lately.
91st and Metcalf. No kidding. I thought they were all done.
Show lunch next time we get a Royals day in April.
We got a long list of that. We still are supposed to go to Chuck's Arcade.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Belated Drew's birthday. It's almost your birthday now.
It is next week, yeah.
Yeah, we can celebrate Gold's birthday.
We can do both. We can combine. We can go, let's go to Chuck's.
What's your half birthday, Drew?
A lot of people texting about Cinzetti said they still go. Top-notch buffet, somebody said.
Oh, it's a buffet?
That's all you, Drew. That's your thing. We learned that a long time ago.
Not since he got sick.
You haven't gone back to the Chinese buffet.
I haven't had a buffet period since.
Good decision on the Chinese. That particular Chinese buffet you went to, probably not as smart.
Decisions were made.
Yeah. All right, up next, quick what's trending, and then Dane and Hughes joined us. We asked him about what the Chiefs should look for in a new OC, and what about the draft, even with all the Rashee Rice allegations that are out there.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending, the NFL put out a statement today acknowledging they're aware of the allegations toward Rashee Rice, saying that they will work through that as it pertains to the personal conduct policy. If you haven't seen it, very serious allegations on Instagram last night from the mother of Rashee Rice's two children, from his ex-girlfriend, alleging among many things that he put his hands on her, locked her outside in 10-degree weather, multiple instances of cheating, cut up her clothing, abandoned the family in Kansas while leaving for Texas. These are some of the things she alleges that he did. We, of course, don't have a police report at this point in time. We don't know if we'll ever get one. buddy, these are photos that are attached to the post that are very disturbing. And the Chiefs put out a statement last night, said they're aware of the allegations. They don't have any comment other than that at this point in time. I don't know if we're going to ever hear any more about this or not. I don't know. As far as the football side of it, if in fact any of this is true, and or there has a police report filed, or we find out more evidence,
and also the entire house,
then he's done. If there's not, then I think it just changes the, hey, there's no way in hell you're giving an extension to this guy. How on earth would
you? I think no matter what.
Yeah, how could you?
And the Chiefs are going to have to reevaluate how they take on cases of players who had, because he had character concerns
at SMU
going into the draft. And so they still decided to go that route. And at this point, it's not paying off. Next up on What Trending, the Dolphins have fired head coach Mike McDaniel. They are saying they're not, or at least all the reporting saying they're not doing this just to hire John Harbaugh, although there's a good relationship with the Harbaugh family and the Rosses. But after a meeting between the two, I guess decided to part ways. That makes 8 openings of 32 teams. 25% of the league has a head coaching vacancy as it sits right now. Only 2 general manager openings. So a lot of GMs retaining their jobs and running out the coaches this time around. Sometimes it's both. In this case, Mike McDaniel out, yet another opening. And if you're asking me, hey, Cody, do you think you'd like Mike McDaniel as the OC as the Chiefs? Hell yes, I would. Do I think he'll become the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs? No. Not as optimistic about that. But would I take him? Yes. Absolutely yes.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, Annie Rodgers reporting that multiple Royals players who are eligible for, you know, salary negotiation through arbitration or otherwise have come up with deals. Michael Massey agreeing to a $1.57 million contract. Also, Daniel Lynch agreeing to a $1.025 million deal. So they avoid arbitration.
Vinny's up for arbitration, I believe, as well. So we'll have to keep an eye out for the arbitration.
I haven't seen a deal.
Again, this is these are the first early deals. They don't all get done day one. Obviously, you got a few more weeks before you got to sit in an arbitration meeting and make it all awkward. Next up on Watch Trading, Matt Nagy will interview with the Ravens, according to multiple sources. That makes 4 interviews at least for Matt Nagy as NFL teams start piling those things in. The Ravens would be an excellent gig for him if he could get it. But I imagine that they will be choosing from a long list of candidates that they'll have available to them, but at least Matt Nagy on the interview list with Baltimore.
Tonight, college football playoffs, man. Semifinal, Ole Miss, Miami starts at 6:30. The Run Rebels, slight dogs tonight. I believe 3.5 is the last number I saw against Carson Beck incoming. Can't wait for this game. Yeah, and when you look at Ole Miss without Lane Kiffin, their offense hasn't missed a beat. That's the part that gives me a little hope. I think, Drew, you said you're on Miami. They're playing such good football now. Same. I'll take Ole Miss to cover. I don't know if they win outright, but I think they can cover.
Thinking and hoping it'll be a good game tonight.
Yeah. And then tomorrow we'll get the other semifinal.
Lastly on What's Trending, just a little bit of the happenings around college football. DJ Lagway, the most recent quarterback to enter the portal, says he'll be heading to Baylor via the transfer portal. And former NFL tight end Jason Witten is heading to Oklahoma to be their tight ends coach.
Interesting. Okay.
Huh. I mean, I imagine he knows how to play tight end.
Yeah.
Seeing how he did it for a very long time, quite successfully. He's going to head to, I'm guessing, did he go to Oklahoma? Obviously, do not remember. It's been a long time since Jason Witten was in college.
Or does he know Venables? He went to...
I don't know if Jason Witten went to Oklahoma or not. I
he did go to Oklahoma.
On top of my head.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was talking about...
No, he's from Tennessee, too.
I don't know where he went to college.
Why I have a guess, but I don't want to be...
Oh, no. Tennessee! He went to college
in
Tennessee.
He's from Tennessee, yeah.
Well, either way, he's coaching at Oklahoma.
I wonder if he knows Venables or something. Anyway,
it also helps a little bit to get those recruits in there. I mean, you think about a tight end. I can go get coached by...
He spent the last 4 years being a high school football coach, head coach in high school football.
So he's been around that. So
maybe just try to move up the circuit. You'd be a tight ends coach. Maybe you can find yourself as an OC job and eventually a college head coach.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes joined us. We started our conversation asking him, what does he think the Chiefs need in their new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that's a tough dynamic when you have a coach, a head coach with the resume of Andy Reid. I mean, how much would he be willing to hand over to an incoming new OC? And sometimes the successes that you experience kind of make you a little bit jaded towards being open to new ideas and new people. So And I think that's human nature, guys. It's not a knock towards Andy Reid.
Sure.
But when you've had the successes of seven straight AFC championships, appearances, and five Super Bowls and three Super Bowl wins, like, let's think from a human perspective. If you guys and your radio show was number one in the country five of the last 7 years, like, how much input would you take from Speck or somebody else as far as somebody new coming in?
Very little, Danan. That's the truth. Very little.
So, I mean, like, this is not, like, something that's abnormal. But I feel like if you are going to say that Patrick Mahomes is going to begin and end his career in Kansas City, then he has to be a part of the decision-making in regards to the offensive coordinator, as well as being involved in the wide receiver coach with Connor Embry being fired. So I think it's got to be an all-encompass, collective kind of dynamic when you bring Brett Veach in and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, because from a running back standpoint, from a wide receiver standpoint, from a continuity offensively, if you listen to the broadcast, now pregame shows, and me on Players Only, which the last show will be tonight, you will hear me have some critique about wide receivers that were not successful outside the numbers. And I think that's got to be at the front of the new OC and the new wide receiver's mind, in conjunction with Patrick Mahomes. Hey, how do we get wins outside the numbers? Because every other team knows how to do it, and we haven't been successful in that. And then how do we get the running game going? Because as much as we would like, and I've listened to you guys' show, I listened to Dusty and Fesco all week, as much as we would like to say improvement in the running game, and I'm not saying that that's not the case, that it's not necessary, we also have to factor the simple thing that I've said for the last 5 years on the broadcast. Every time Patrick Mahomes hands the ball off, the best player in the league does not have the ball. So as an OC and a head coach, you have to decide how often you want that dynamic to happen. And that's a tough, tough situation to have to deal with when you have the best quarterback in the league, especially when he's healthy. So I think everybody just needs to be on the same accord and make sure that they go into 2026 with the same like-minded approach. Hey, we are all in this together. We're going to fix it, have a way we can fix it. But those are specific areas I think they need to be addressed.
Danan, to your point on the, like, you wouldn't change much, Alex and I have made a big point about that. It's like, up to this season, why would you think some part of your process wasn't working when you had attended 5 of 7 Super Bowls and obviously went to 3 in a row, even if you didn't win all of those? But it's like the wake-up call nature of it. Andy doesn't make big moves like moving on from offensive coordinators unless he thinks big things got in the way of what happened. And so do you think there's any other big move on the horizon? Like, do you think, because I think moving on from Dave Tobe is, even though it's a special teams coordinator, they're boys. I think if like something like that happened, that would suggest that Andy realized that there were major issues this previous season.
Yeah, I don't anticipate that. I think Dave Tobe is still one of the top special teams coaches in the NFL. He's the assistant head coach for a reason, which tells you a lot about their relationship. And I'm a former player, so I'm always going to lean towards, when it's all said and done, the player has to do their job. So if during the season we were critiquing Harrison Butker, we can't blame Dave Tobe for that. He's the only kicker on the roster. He has to go out there and do his job. The onus is on the player. Now, you may want to say, okay, some of the holding penalties, how do you get away with that? But holding is up all around the league. Every single game we watch on kickoff coverage and kickoff return, you see multiple holding penalties. It's based on the dynamic kickoff rule that I just don't think players have been as good at addressing and adjusting to as they were in previous times. So, like, I like Dave Tobe. I like his approach. I think he's had success in this league. There's just a component that players have to get better. And I think we have a good core of young talent with Jeffrey Bosa, Cooper McDonald, Kevin Knowles, Noel Williams, that I think can stabilize the special teams unit, where I don't think it should cost him his job.
We're talking to Dayton Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver here on 96.5 The Fan. We don't know how anything's going to play out with the allegations, I understand, that are out there with Rashee Rice. But how do you feel about the wide receiver offseason plan? A, assuming he is still available, and if he were not to be available, does that mean at number nine, it's almost has to be a wide receiver in your opinion?
Ah, man, I don't know if number nine has to be a wide receiver, because I'm still leaning towards defensive line. I need a game changer at the defensive line position. And if Chris Jones is going to be a guy that's going to tutor that guy and help bring him along, I mean, when you see the effects of guys like Jalen Carter, when they go and get two defensive linemen from Georgia and thrust them right into a lineup, how that automatically changes the whole dynamic of a defense. And if you're still kind of questioning what you're going to do with Trent McDuffie, you can have questions in the back end of a defense as well as questions that consistently showed themselves this year on the front end. The front four have to figure out a way to get home. We cannot be just a blitzing team and lean on our defensive backs to make magical plays when the quarterback has extended amount of time. Like, that to me, as the number one issue with this Chiefs team was the defensive front and their inability to get home, to disrupt passing games, and get out of third down situations. You look at this defense, they were 29th in the NFL in third down production. You can't, like, I don't care what's happening on the offensive side, special team side, third and 17, third and 9, third and 11, third and 18. Like, I'm thinking back to specific situations where we should have gotten off the field and we didn't. And it happened on numerous occasions. And if Chris Jones is going to be around, his production has declined, then we need to have somebody waiting in the bullpen that's going to be able to come in and take in that role. Think about when Chris Jones came into the league. You had, you know, aging Tom Bahali. You had Justin Houston that was around. And you had guys that you could basically hand the baton off to Chris Jones, a young Chris Jones, where he was able to come in, hit the ground running, and make a name for himself. Maybe this is the time where we have to look at that succession or the succession plan for that defensive line position. Charles Omenihu didn't get it done. George Karlaftis, we signed a long deal for him. He's going to be around, but there needs to be somebody on the interior that's going to be able to pick up some of the slack and maybe reestablish the identity of this defense.
So I'm 1,000% with you on defensive line. Like, even 24 hours ago, I was like, no question, defensive line, defensive line, defensive line. I'm just trying to figure out what the wide receiver room would look like if, and again, we have no idea how this is going to play out with Rashee Rice the rest of this offseason.
Yeah.
But if if Travis Kelce were to retire and Rice weren't available, I mean, we're talking about Xavier Worthy and Jalen Royals, basically the only guys under contract and offensive weapons in the pass game.
Yeah, make no mistake, just because I went on that rant about the defensive line, I'm not saying anything about our wide receivers. And I'm not trying to, just because I'm a former wide receiver, I'm not in protective mode about wide receivers. Connor Embry, as you guys mentioned, I don't call for people's jobs, but I think you guys were very clear, and so was Fesco and Dusty earlier. The guys that we've had have not developed. And if that just in itself means that you have to move away from the wide receiver coach and get somebody else in, I think that is definitely a key. What we've seen from Xavier Worthy, I don't want to go another year where it seems like he's a one-trick pony, where it's either a deep ball perfectly thrown, where he's either going to make a catch or draw a penalty, or if he's going to be a jet sweep guy or shallow cross guy or crossing route guy. Like, I want to see wide receivers that win on the outside. And I think when you look at the landscape of this season, specifically defenses trying to defend our wide receivers, they didn't really have to worry about outside the number of production. They just had to worry about passing off crossing routes and all the window dressing that the offense presented with our wide receivers and linebackers coming into play with safeties also. So getting a taller, more rangy guy that you can throw up deep balls to, back shoulder throws in the red zone, hitch routes, all the things that we saw from like the CeeDee Lambs and the George Pickens and, you know, the wide receiving crew, the Mims Jr., and from the Denver Broncos. Like, we need to see that become a staple, not just an aspect of our offense, but a staple of our offense. But I agree. Like, if Rashee Rice's issues off the field are all true, then he's not with the team next year. Like, I get it. This second chance, this would be a second chance. This would be the most egregious second chance that he would have failed at in regards to domestic violence. And you have to move along from that. And going from a draft of Xavier Worthy in the first round, Rashee Rice in the second round, Sky Moore in the third round, and none of those guys becoming your number one bona fide threat, I don't know if you go back to the draft for the first or second round. You definitely go back to the draft again, but maybe the second round or third round, and you got to go get an established vet because you need that immediate impact. It can't be a growth process with another young talent.
Danon, who do you like in the playoffs coming up on Saturday? Now I'm kind of curious where you stand on the AFC and NFC side. We did our root against and root for index, like the people you would most likely cheer for and the teams you'd cheer against. Alex was against the Bills, Eagles, and Broncos. Broncos number one in his. And then I also had the Patriots. I don't want to see them win anymore. Was on my side as well. Who are you root? I mean, who do you actually think wins, I guess, on the NFC and AFC side?
So I think because of the history of the Chiefs, PR, coaching, and front office tree going to Chicago and having some friends up in Chicago and being such a long drought for them, I think from a NFC perspective, I'm leaning on the Bears, I think. From the AFC, that's tough because there was a part of me that was like, okay, if it's not the Chiefs, I guess the Bills. And I say that so begrudgingly. I say that like from the pit of my stomach, like I guess. But then as we move more towards this weekend, I'm like, screw the Bills. Like, I don't want them to win. Like,
right.
So I'm having this tug of war going on in my head from an AFC perspective. And I feel like I'm leaning more towards the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just feel like they've done it the right way. They beat us the right way. They have shown themselves to be the up and coming, and Trevor Lawrence has really done a fine job becoming MVP candidate when there was so much on his shoulders and so much critique leading up into this season. Like, somebody new like that, I feel like that would be the warm, fuzzy story, and I can go along with that if I had to.
Do you like, I guess, you know what? I will take a Bears-Jags Super Bowl. That feels very not pressure-packed.
Harmless? Is that what you're
harmless.
Saying?
Yeah.
Harmless.
Yeah. Harmless.
Harmless Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We're not in it. If the number one team in the world is not in it, in the Kansas City Chiefs, then having those two in it, like, that would be kind of apropos for the year. That would like put a full exclamation point on the 2025 season.
Look, I don't think Sean McDermott is terrible, but I also want him to win one game so he doesn't get fired. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want him to lose Saturday or whenever they're playing and get fired potentially, because there's a lot of speculation about that, and then they go and get a new head coach. And I kind of like what I've seen with the limitations with Sean McDermott.
When I tell you that I, like, there's this strange kind of split in my brain right now where part of me kind of wants to go along with you, but the other part of me is like, screw the Bills. Like, I don't care about them. Like, they can spiral downward and I could care less. We have to go there in their new stadium next year already, so we already know that. Western New York, I have no affinity for. I get it.
That's right. You're a Jersey guy.
Yeah, I get your points, but at the same time, I'm like, nah.
So that was Danon Hughes earlier today with us talking about some of those teams that might not be pulling for come Saturday and Sunday, wild card weekend. Tomorrow, we will talk more on the NFC side. I know we gave kind of our predictions on how we think the AFC wild card can go. will go, and we'll talk more on the NFC side tomorrow. I will point out, just because earlier we referenced Jason Withington, who is the one of the Clay County commissioners, and how he was saying he's done negotiating with the Royals. And we kind of said, hey, that's fine, but there's six others.
You're speaking for everybody.
He just put out an updated tweet clarifying. He said, to be clear, when I said I meant me, not the full commission. I was speaking for myself, my own experience. Every commissioner is free to make up their own mind, which we kind of figured, but that is direct from him because he is just one of seven.
That's how I got to be honest.
That's what we, that's how we said it.
That's how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
And I don't think one person can speak for the masses because, again, Clay County's a county would love the Royals. The commissioners should want the Royals. It's overall a thing I think that they'll keep trying to push for.
That'll do it for us on a Thursday. Tomorrow, we're back at it. We will have a fan club Friday. We'll
Drew
have
a Hooters uniform all
Drew
day.
Drew is going to be paying off his
bets. So if you want to sign up for YouTube or Twitch or Facebook now,
it's free.
We live stream the show. You
know, yeah, he's paying off his bet tomorrow. Fan club Friday. We'll have a new guest we've never had on the show. That'll be fun. Josh Briscoe also will join us. And we'll talk more about how the CFP semifinals go. We probably will talk a little bit about Ole Miss and whether or not they get it done tonight against the Miami Hurricane. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day of the drive. Up next.